You are listening to Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford on ESPN 850 WKNR.
Got a good suggestion for you here. It's actually a great one. Download the brand new Cleveland Browns mobile app. I know a guy named Lou who did download it for the record.
Well, there you go.
For Apple and Android phones, tablets, and iPads. How's that for a recovery? Stay Beautiful. Connected to your Cleveland Browns anytime and everywhere with breaking news notifications from the team straight to your phone. You listen to this show, Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford, on your phone, on your iPad, whatever you might be, mobile. It's such a great app. All right. More from the mailbag, because this is Wednesday, and we call this a hashtag Wednesday when you tweet us, and a bunch of you have with your questions and your comments and such. So our producer today, Chris Kuhn, is going to reach into that bag again, and I think you got some more questions for us, don't you?
I do.
But
yes, I do.
Before you go, I got to tell you, Michael, look, turn around in the studio here.
Okay.
Look at what we got here. We got a bunch of some people are now. This is what happens in the middle of a football facility. I got to find out why, but they're carrying. These are like the little, you know, the little cars that you get for kids, like the Barbie car. For the sake of a better term, that's what I used.
Almost like a motorized car.
They're plastic, but they're motorized and the right size for like a toddler, young kid, maybe a little older than a toddler, you know, driving them. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, we've got a bunch of hands here of people who are from, they look like interns, I guess, hauling. I've seen 1, 2, 3, 4 of these, and they're putting them in an office right now, and like one of somebody's office, which is dark. So whoever isn't in there, they got a room full of these vehicles, and they look so cool. And I've seen, you know, pink ones. I've seen ones that look like for little girls, and some for. This is unbelievable.
Might be a part of Family Day.
I'm trying to figure what that's for, because it's
InfoCision Stadium. Be there.
I think it's a little early for Christmas, right?
And a little bit.
And it's but there's a whole troop of these. When I saw like four of them going by, it just kind of blew my mind. All right, Chris, I didn't mean to interrupt, but these are the sights and sounds of Berea in July in this off period before we start training camp in 10 days. All right, what's going on?
All righty, this one comes from the Soul Street Cafe, and they reach us at Soul Street Cafe, and it says, as training camp draws near, what's going to decide the starting quarterback and running back positions?
Okay. We had this discussion yesterday with quarterback, and I know we've touched on it today for running back. I'll give you my two answers. For quarterback, I think efficiency, number one. I think efficiency, efficiency, efficiency. Now, Steve Wyche from NFL Network was on earlier today, and he predicted or projected that Johnny Manziel is the starter on opening day against the Pittsburgh Steelers. And he just based it on he's the better quarterback. He's the guy that they drafted to take the spot. So give him that spot. He'll get that spot on day one. We have conducted, when I say we, you and I and others have talked about this opener at Pittsburgh on the road and said it makes more sense to have the guy who is likely to be more efficient, to make the fewer mistakes, and that is Brian Hoyer. I'll say this. I don't know if it's going to be Brian Hoyer or Johnny Manziel, but I think Manziel has as much opportunity as Hoyer in the course of camp/preseason to demonstrate he is efficient enough to get this job at the earliest possible time, because the job is going to be his. He was drafted to get it. Brian Hoyer, I don't see as the long-term starter for the Cleveland Browns, because the plan, as long as the people who have made the choice to bring Johnny in here and to coach Johnny and everything else that goes with Johnny, as long as they're in charge, it's Johnny's football team at some point. And it could be at the very beginning if he demonstrates as equal to, if not more, efficiency than Hoyer. And obviously, vice versa, Hoyer can win this job by being more efficient than Johnny.
I'll quote the head football coach, Mike Pettine, who's going to make the ultimate decision. It's not insurmountable. And that into the question of, can Johnny Manziel make enough inroads starting July 26th to take the job over? That having been said, I'm going to continue on my path of consistency. I'm going to say that this organization would feel better right now unless Manziel is able to come in and show tremendous accuracy and that tremendous efficiency that Vic was talking about, and allow them to feel that it's not going to be a high risk decision by putting the football in his hands. Now, if he can do all of that, of course he's got a shot, but I'm going to say that it comes September 7th that Brian Hoyer is going to be the quarterback in Heinz Field against the Pittsburgh Steelers. As far as the running back goes, Vic, yeah, while I do agree that when we just had Nate Ulrich from the Akron Beacon Journal on, you expressed it, there probably is the sense that Ben Tate is going to be the guy to start the year. I see as the year goes on that things are going to even out and maybe even swing in the direction of Terrence West, and you'll have more of that that duality in the offensive backfield rather than one guy being so much further ahead than the other. I do think we're going to see a lot of even reps and carries rather evenly distributed between the two as the year moves on.
I think the running back determination is the player that shows the best meshing, shows that he is in sync with this line. This is going to be – this is not an easy transition for teams to go to zone blocking. Other teams have kind of experimented with it, dabbled with it, and gotten away from it because it wasn't the best fit or good fit for their O-line especially, and then their backs because they didn't get the timing thing down. This isn't a dabbling or an experimentation for the Browns. This is what Kyle Shanahan, as an offensive coordinator, firmly believes is the way you run an offense, and especially the running game that is then the foundation of everything else you do offensively, including throwing the ball. So they're not sticking a toe in the water here with this offense. That said, the guy who just naturally picks this up, Nate Ulrich was projecting that Tate would win this competition but acknowledged that it is a competition. I'm of the mind to think that Terrence West, because of just the way he works and moves physically and the mental part of it, the way he seems to have naturally grasped what was needed, there is no hesitation, what is needed in the way of patience and understanding and quick movement, explosiveness to the right hole. He looked like he was picking those spots very well. Again, nobody was tackling, but I saw gaps that he was penetrating that in a game, even with pads on and going at a faster tempo, I think he could have had success with that. I know that's taking a leap of faith with no contact and a rookie running back, but I'm giving him an edge, and I think it's just based on that. It's the guy meshing with the O-line.
All right, guys, Brandon Kizak, he tweets at us, and he asks, why isn't Justin Gilbert signed yet?
It's a great question. It doesn't make sense to me because of the basic slotting thing. Clearly, his agent is seeking something in structure. It can't be in terms of what the dollars are for the number eight spot, because every single other spot, John Clayton was with us yesterday from ESPN and pointing this out, that every single contract which he has reviewed in the NFL of rookies, of draft picks, has fallen to form, which is 1 through 282, I think is the total, something like that, and in terms of where guys are picked and what they're paid in the way of signing bonus. So I don't think this is over money. I do think this is over how the years are structured, and particularly when you get into that fourth/fifth year. And agents don't want to give up that fifth year.
No.
They want that four maximum, and even to many of them, that's too many, to give a guy a chance to get his second contract, his much more lucrative contract, much sooner.
You just hit on it, Vic. Second contract. Couldn't say it better. The technical term you're going to hear thrown around, Browns Nation, is offset language. And what that means is a more ready, available opportunity to be in a real good position to get that second contract as soon as possible. I think that's the bottom line with this. And Vic, you touched on something else, too. I think agents have a tendency to look at as well, all right, what kind of situation is the guy in team-wise and organizationally, and will the front office that drafted him and the head coach that wanted and had such a big part in drafting a player be in place when that young man gets to year three and year four, with that in mind too?
Bottom line, I can't envision a scenario where Justin Gilbert is not on the field for day one. of training camp.
No,
I just don't. See that. I don't see any real possibility. Now he's getting more upfront money because he was picked eighth versus Johnny Manziel, who was picked 22nd. That's a big gap. It's a big financial gap. So he's getting more money. The Browns are going to pay him the most money out of pocket up front. So whether there is any natural delay that comes from that, sometimes teams, it's just a matter of who's hanging on to whose money first. But if I'm the player, I want that money in my account.
Sure.
I want that gaining interest. I don't know how much it gains, but whatever I'm going to do with it, I want to do it and not leave it, because it's money that's going to be his. He knows the dollar amount, except right now it's sitting in the account of the Cleveland Browns. If I'm the player and the agent who gets his percentage of this, I don't know what the delay, if there's a delay that's worth not having that in your hands right now.
You'd seem like
for
that, again, you want that. And guys want to get as much up front as possible and want to pretty much, they know what that guaranteed amount is. So how much of it can you get in your hands, in your position up front? Sometimes teams will, try to maybe, you only got 4 years, but could you try to spread it out, backload it a little bit more? Maybe that's where sometimes guys, everything's slotted salary-wise.
Yeah.
It's all about guaranteed money, offset language, and where it could take a second contract for that individual.
All right, 216-578-0850, 216-578-0850. We definitely want to hear from you. Want you to dial us up so that we can engage that way. And, of course, via Twitter, because it is a hashtag mailbag Wednesday, so include that hashtag mailbag when you send us questions. You've done so, and Chris Kuhn has been reading them. We'll try to get more of those. We will, I'm sure, get more of those in as we wrap up our Wednesday edition, our Football Wednesday edition of Cleveland Browns Daily, driven by Liberty Ford.